Praise God. Welcome, everybody. Merry Christmas. Hope you're all doing well today. Y'all ready for a fantastic holiday season filled with joy? You know, Christmas is all about joy. Getting together with family, friends, recontact with people. I love it. It's one of my favorite times of the year, getting together with people like that. Saw some old friends yesterday we haven't seen for a long time. It's great. So, this message is part two of Turn Around for Good. Now, once you conceptualize, if you look through the Old Testament, almost all of it's about major, wonderful turnarounds, right? Okay, we'll talk more about that in a little bit, but think about it. Samson turned around at the end when he destroyed all the Philistines, and Esther, of course, turned around when he saved the Jewish, when she saved the Jewish nation. And the list goes on and on. Okay? But a couple examples in World War II were very prominent. We're going to expound upon these things today. Was during the Pacific was the Battle of Midway. Now, what made the Battle of Midway so important was we destroyed the main part of the Japanese fleet. And at that point, they were virtually, they were highly limited at that point to do much against us. They lost four of their major aircraft carriers. And the aircraft carrier is the powerhouse of a naval thing. And basically, the aircraft carrier is the power. Everything else is designed to support and protect that carrier, okay? But because of things God had done, if you look through the history, we'll go into details today, it was only God that showed us that. But what happened was we broke the Japanese code. We had an idea where they were going to come. They sent out a test message. They confirmed it. They set up a plan to stop the Japanese attack. And a lot of turnarounds is stopping the enemy's attack against your life, okay? Now, in the war, Europe was Stalingrad, where the snows came in so heavy that the Germans couldn't advance. In fact, it was so cold that their tanks couldn't start. And stopped that right there and started the turnaround, which was pushing on toward the end of the war. And we're going to a little more of that as we go on to this. But the bottom line is that turnarounds happen. You can think of a revolution where Valley Forge was a turnaround for the Allies, or the Civil War where Gettysburg was the turnaround for the Union, where we turned it around and finally were able to stop the Confederates and eventually get rid of slavery because of it. You know, big things happen because of turnaround. So as you're going through your turnaround time right now, God's going to do big things for you. I want you to think about this. Small things and turnarounds can turn into big things for you and for the kingdom of God. Now, God does everything to bless his own kingdom. That is to go along with that process to be blessed in the kingdom of God as we go along with his way. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, in our turnaround position, many of us are still in the same place. But the devil's been attacking us. And now it's time for them, the enemy, to start retreating. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Okay. Everybody here has felt the presence of the Lord. I want you to feel that change inside of you on a continual basis, this strength that grows up in you. There's a power, a passion. Taking that authority you have is needed. Now it's time to take it and push the enemy away, resist, and he'll flee from you. Yes, challenging times are coming, but the stronger you are now, the better you're able to resist and handle those challenging times when they come. Okay? It's time for us to have turnarounds, to have great victories that we need to bless the kingdom of God. These victories, many people are going to notice. When they notice your victories, they're going to come to you and get a chance to lead them to Jesus. This is the ultimate goal, is to grow the kingdom of God. When you stand before Jesus, you want to be able to say what you did to grow his kingdom, what you brought value to his kingdom. Now, you'll be blessed plenty on the other side with everything that you need, life abundance. We understand that. But the object here is that this is the winning side, and your job is to grow it as fast as possible. Now, when they see your victories, when the people that have been kind of arm's length from you now see your victories, the ones who've been giving you a hard time because you're so spiritual, they see your victories. They're going to look at you and look at their lives and say, what is going on here? And you can open that door for a conversation to Jesus. I went to a health club one time, and the trainer was more out of shape than I was. I did not have any confidence in this person at all. I did not stay at that club very long. And that's where we are here in the world today. We need to get to where we are having victory upon victory so we can show them that we're doing better than they are. Not as a competition, not as a challenge, but just that our lives, because of our belief in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, are turning around. And because you're here at ABC, you're learning how to do this. Okay? Now, a quick review. Turnarounds in the Bible. God turned around for Joseph, as noticed in Genesis 50:20. What the devil meant for bad, God will use for good. Okay? Joseph didn't give up in prison. He stayed true to himself. Had he gotten out earlier, he may not have been able to be received by the Pharaoh. But he went from prisoner to prime minister in a very short period of time. Okay? Now, Joseph's faith and forgiveness became the key that turned his trials into triumph, fulfilling his God-given destiny. Oh, by the way, I want to thank Pastor Karen and Pastor Matthew for your Christmas present. You have an outline today. They stayed up late last night getting this done, and I thank them very much for that. Thank you, guys, very, very much. God bless you. Now, B, God works through you to bring the turnaround. You are the vessel. It doesn't work without a human. Yes, God could have done anything he wanted to, but if you look through the Bible, he's always used somebody. Maybe it was Gideon, maybe it was David, who it was. But he uses people for his turnarounds. Okay? You are going to be used by God for turnarounds. Okay? Now, if you look through the Bible, people heard and obeyed the Lord. Now, all of you have gotten very specific things to do from the Lord. You've all done this. I know you do, because God tells everybody to do something. I don't know how it's also going to fit together, but it's to bless the kingdom of God, but we know what our duties are to do for the Lord. Now, Noah built the ark, of course. He finished it. Do you have any unfinished arks in your planning rooms? Okay. Get them out, dust them off, and ask, Lord, what do you want me to do now? He may change it some. He may alter the design. Okay, fine. No problem. The thing is, we're going to do what God tells us to do. This is a key that we're working on here, is to hear God's voice. Forget the mistakes of the past. They're done. We're not going to be like Lot's wife, looking back to the past, turning into stone. Okay, we're going to go forward, right? Now, Moses, of course, took his people across the Red Sea. We know that. Now, you know the story about the atheist professor? He didn't like God. He did everything he could do to prove that the Bible was wrong. So one day in his class, he's telling people, we have done an analysis and looking back at the droughts of the times and the winds and so forth, the Red Sea was probably 6 inches deep when Moses crossed. So it was no miracle that Moses crossed the Red Sea. And the Christian student says, praise God. And the atheist professor says, what do you mean, praise God? I saw there's no miracle. He says, yes, but God drowned the entire Egyptian army in 6 inches of water. You cannot do God. And I love the fact that these archaeological digs keep proving the Bible right. You see things that don't look right, and they go to find a dig and prove something else about the Bible. Now, we all know that faith and patience in the end times are the important words, right? Patience. Archaeologists have to be the most patient people in the world. Take a whole bunch of clay and scrape through it and blow it off to find. These guys got great patience. I don't know if I could do that, but God bless them, you know. But the bottom line is that they keep proving the Bible correct. That is documentation. Confucianism been proved correct, Buddha hasn't been proved correct, Muhammad hasn't been proved correct, but the Bible has always been proved correct, everything he says. Okay? Even though it's written over thousands of years, it's written by 66 different people, or whatever the number is, I think it's 66. The bottom line is that it's one author telling a story through 66 different people, and every part has been proven correct. They've never proven one part of the Bible wrong, okay? What does that mean to you going forward? It's confidence that what you're doing when you stand on this word is the word of God and it's truth. Okay? All right. Each turnaround requires you as a believer to take a leap of faith and move forward. I'm going to repeat that. Your turnaround is going to require you to take a leap of faith as a believer and move forward. If it's easy, it's probably not from God. If it's unbelievable and natural, it's probably from God. And you have to have God show you how to do the unbelievable, because it's the unbelievable that draws people to you. How unbelievable was it when Jesus blessed some fishes and loaves and fed thousands and thousands of people? The unbelievable is what proves it's a miracle of God. You're moving into a stage of unbelievable in the natural, making the impossible possible. And this is so exciting, because we finish up 2025, we head into 2026. I am believing for a banner year for every person who's affiliated with ABC in any way, shape, or form. I am believing that the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you in ways you've never felt before. You're finally getting over the challenge of the past. You're finally beating up the devil for lying to you about all these things. And you're going forward strictly with the Word of God. And all things are going to be added to you. Now, number two, faith requires action before you see the results with your physical eyes. Your belief will cause you to see it first with your eyes of faith, referred to as Hebrews 11:10. Your vision that God has given you is not in the natural right now. It's a vision. And you see it spiritually, and you're going to go forward to it. Now, Jesus Christ was an obedient hearer and doer. He would often say, I only do what my Father tells me to do. If it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. Hopefully, it's good enough for you. Okay? What does Jesus require? Jesus requires you to be an obedient hearer and doer. I used this analogy the other day. What if Peter didn't use his faith to cast the nets on the other side of the boat? People would have been hungry. They fished all night long. He knew his job. He was challenged to be very, very tired. He probably just wanted to go home and go to bed. He hadn't caught anything. He wasn't able to feed his family. He felt rejected, felt like a failure. If he gets a word from God, what does he do? He listens, he hears, he obeys, he puts his nets on the other side of the boat. Or the deep, depending on which part of the Bible you read, there's two times when he did this. And it makes no sense in logic. But 8-10 feet difference made a huge change in his haul. And because of that, it would be a failure to a success in a few moments. And that's how fast God can turn your lives around. Whatever your turnaround challenge is, I don't care if it's an illness. I don't care what the doctors have said. I don't care if it's a financial challenge, a relationship challenge. I don't care what the challenge is. When you're hearing the voice of God, he can turn that challenge around in a nanosecond. How long do you take the water to get turned into wine? We really don't know. Probably just a second. Probably drew the water, but before the guy could taste it, it turned into wine. Right? Okay. The wine bearers were obedient to Jesus. They did what he told them to do. And the family's reputation was saved. He cares about even the small things. He cared about that family's reputation enough to make his first miracle such a point that they would be not embarrassed. He cares about you not being embarrassed too. He cares about every single little thing about you. Okay? Obedience to God is only possible to hear his voice correctly and more clearly. This is very important. I will say this a lot. I want to burn this into your memory that Satan is an excellent, talented counterfeit. Your job is to know the real thing so much that you can tell the counterfeit the minute it gets close to you. Okay? Now we're blessed here. We have a monthly book club, and there are videos. Go back and review those. These will help you hear the voice more clearly. Those of you who come to Awake 633, the more you do that, the more you have days like today where Jesus showed up. And it was so strong, we heard his voice. Diligence pays the way we do here. Jesus has shown up 32 times at Awake 633 in just under 2 years. People tell me it may not be Jesus. I say, come on, you tell me and prove it to me. When that anointing shows up, we have miracles, and I can have testimonies galore on it. We feel the presence, and you can feel the change in the anointing, going from a very strong anointing to an astronomical anointing. And many people have physically seen him with their eyes. I'm going to tell you, it's Jesus. I can't force you to believe that. That's your own choice. But we have testimonies upon testimonies of people being instantly healed when he's shown up. Answers to prayers they prayed out for decades resolved. And there's an opportunity here for you to hear his voice more clearly, and that, of course, is the goal. Now, Romans 10:17, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. This verse emphasizes the importance of God's spoken word as a means through which faith grows stronger. Okay? When you're hearing from God now, the more you know, the more confidence you have. The more natural will seem to become more ridiculous, because you know God is more important than what seems natural in the natural. When you hear God's voice that clearly, you know to do it because it's true. Now, God's word must be spoken and activated to be functioning in the spirit realm. We must speak things out, okay? What did Moses say? Let my people go. He spoke it out, okay? We speak God's word out. We're taught that stage one, healing school one, how important the word of God is. We speak what we're supposed to do. Listening to God's teaching is very important. It's a vitalized way of maturing your faith to believe God's word. Okay? Listening to godly teaching is vital for maturing faith and learning to believe in God. One reason affirming God's voice is a powerful faith tool. John 10:10. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. This is very key. We must follow Jesus. Challenging your life may indicate that you are not hearing God's voice clearly enough for his guidance to help you avoid them. You cannot follow Jesus, our shepherd, the close relationship that enables you to hear his voice and see him regularly. This means you must continue to develop these skills. If you have a little number of your own, you can strive to attend all the services, ABC Church. Watch the video recordings of any that you've missed. Let me repeat that. You can sharpen your skills by attending all the services at ABC Church or watching videos of any you may have missed. Okay. Acts 22:14-15. And he said, the God of our forefathers is destined to appoint you to become progressively, to know his will, to perceive, to recognize more strongly and clearly, to become better and more intimately acquainted with his will, to see the righteous one, Jesus the Messiah, to see the righteous one, Jesus Messiah, and to hear a voice from his own mouth and a message from his own lips. And you will be his witness unto all men for everything you've seen and heard. When you're seeing Jesus, and you get that message, there is a boldness that comes upon you that no naysayer can stop you from. Okay? Now we should be confessing Acts 22:14-15. You should write that down. Acts 22:14-15 on a daily basis. We affirm the word of God over us because as we affirm the word of God, we stop the enemy. We're hurting the enemy, but we're developing our skills. If you're a tennis player, you went out and practiced the shot 1,000 times, you'll be better than if you didn't do it. This is the same thing. You're developing a recourse. You develop a memory loss. You develop a memory position in this thing where you know that this is where you're supposed to go with the Word of God. We should be asking God to hear His voice and a message from Him and from Jesus. When you're working in the field, any of you that worked, that belong to a church, you have a pastor. What if you never saw that boss? What if you never saw that pastor? What if the boss never spoke to you? You're by yourself all day long, no supervisor, no manager, no boss. How would you know what to do or where to go? Doesn't it make sense that the leader of the body of Christ wants to have a relationship with each and every one of us? That's our goal. To help you get that relationship with your Lord and Savior. Work very hard to make it happen, to be possible for you to have the relationship. Now we're growing and growing and growing. But I'm really, seriously excited how people are growing strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And number four, turn around scriptures. Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. God is always going to be with you no matter what happens. And when you drop the ball and blow it, He's still going to take care of you. Okay? Joshua 1:9. Be strong and of good courage, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. John 11:40, Jesus said, Do I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? I want everyone here to see the glory of God in their lives. I want their glory to shine, to go forward so much that the world knows there's something special about you. 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. And of course, Pastora Sarah's favorite scripture, Ephesians 3:20. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or think. Whatever we ask, God can do more. God can do so much more with you. But you got to start. You got to do your part. God won't do it for you. He does it with you. Okay? Every act of obedience positions you for a breakthrough. God is faithful to turn everything around for good for you. Okay? Great. So I want you to repeat this affirmation with me. Okay? This is Acts 22:14-15. In the name of Jesus, I praise you, Lord, that you are the God of my forefathers. You have destined and appointed me to come progressively, to know your will, to perceive, to recognize more strongly and clearly, and to become better and more intimately acquainted with your will, and to see you, Jesus my Messiah, the righteous one, and to hear a voice from your own mouth, and a message from your own lips, every day, continually, and in the name of Jesus, I am your witness unto all people of everything that I see and hear that you, God, are teaching me. Everybody agrees, says, amen. All right, part two. Great, doing fine. Position yourself for a turnaround. Now, this is C1. Trust God's timing. You must embrace patience. That's a part of the process. Now, we're living in this microwave computer age. It's everything done right now. There's a race with me, the fastest billionaire using AI today. And patience is a big spiritual hindrance. That's got to be more patient, like it says in Habakkuk 2:3. For the vision is yet for the appointed future time. It hurries toward the goal of fulfillment, It will not fail. Even though it delays, wait patiently for it, because it will certainly come. It will not delay. Now, your turnarounds, you've been dealing with them for a long time. The breakthrough is now. But as you do everything according to God's way, it's going to come fast. But it's got to be in God's timing. Don't get ahead of God. Now, number two, prevent the enemy's ambush. We study proven historical strategies of victory to prepare for spiritual battles. Now, 80 years ago was the Battle of the Bulge. Now, most people that do any kind of history know about General George Patton. There are many other generals in World War II, Clark, Bradley, but Patton's very unique in that he was a much more aggressive fighter. And I said this before, I repeat it now, my uncle was in his Third Army, and he said he hated his guts, but he'd follow him to hell and back because Patton was going to get the job done. So the Battle of Bulge is starting, and what happens is one of Patton's aides comes to him and says, we cannot find 15 German divisions. Now, that's huge. That's 250,000 plus men. By the time the Battle of Bulge is over, they've moved 400,000 men, which is almost 10% of the entire German army. It's huge. Okay, that's a huge, massive amount of tanks, equipment, and things put in there. And they don't have the systems we do today, so they had different ways of seeing it. But once they were gone and hidden, we couldn't find them. So Patton reported to Allied High Command, and Allied High Command decided it wasn't that big of a deal. They were just probably pulled back for protection around Germany or something. They didn't really know, but they just didn't worry about it. But Patton was a godly man. Not only his doctrine was different than mine in certain areas, but he was a believer in Jesus Christ, and he was a godly man, read his Bible every single day. Now, that's important because they don't have to be exactly on the same level for me to realize they may be hearing from God. Okay. Well, Patton wasn't satisfied with the Allied High Command's theory that that was nothing. And he started looking at maps and doing things and doing some research. And I believe God was talking to him. This is my theory and on this part here. And he figured out where the Germans were going to attack and try to split the Allies in two. And you ever heard the term divide and conquer? That's what the Germans were trying to do. They could have split the Allies and gotten through. They could have went all the way up to the ocean. Everything on one side could not have been supplied. It would have been a terrible, terrible defeat. Okay. When the generals finally got together, and Eisenhower asked who could move against the Germans, Patton says, I can move in 48 hours. And that's ridiculous. You can't possibly. He says, yes, I can, because I gave the order several days ago. Because he knew what he was going to do in the spirit. He stopped the enemy attack against him. He stopped the ambush. Satan's going to try to ambush you so you don't get your turnaround. Satan's going to try to stop you. But by hearing the voice of God, you'll know what to do to stop this. Patton did counter the Germans. And the Battle of Bulge, while it was still terrible and tough, it wasn't anywhere near as what it could have been. Had the Germans succeeded, it probably would extend the war two more years. Had that happened, probably another 20 million lives would have lost in the battlefields. But what they don't talk about, and this is what I was praying the Lord about, I believe, Europe was on the verge of starvation at that point in time. Two more years of war would have cost you 100 and 200 million lives, just people starving to death. But because Patton was a godly man and did what he had to do, and I believe he was led by the Lord to do that, the war ended. We could send all the supplies we needed to over and save the people of Europe. What does that mean to you? It means when the enemy attacks and counters you, you listen to the Holy Spirit what to do. He's probably already told you how to prepare for it ahead of time. He's probably already told you what to do. You may not know exactly when to use or apply it, but he's telling you what to do by hearing the voice of God so clearly. So what happens? We discern and defeat the enemy's strategies. Discern is a key word. We must discern between the Holy Spirit and the counterfeit. Okay? And you build a sensitivity through prayer and daily fellowship. You strengthen your spirit by praying in tongues daily, making it a priority for at least an hour. Is this tough? Yes. Yes, it is. But it's not as tough as getting into a fight with the enemy and not being prepared to handle him. Okay? The enemy's going to bring the fight to you. Okay? Are you ready? Are you willing to do what needs to get ready for it? Okay? You're going to transform limited thoughts into bold action moves. Even though Patton's higher command couldn't see it, he knew what he had to do. Okay? Turn adversity into advancement. Because Patton saw the challenge there and turned that adversity and defeated the Germans, he's remembered history books a lot more than a lot of other people. But more importantly, countless lives were saved. Now Romans 12:12, be joyful because you have hope. Rejoice in hope. Be patient, endure. When trouble comes and suffering and tribulation, pray at all times faithfully with persistence and perseverance. God's got an answer for whatever you're going through. It's very important you stay connected with your faith community. That's us here at ABC. That's why I want you online at the different services. I want you as often as possible. Okay? Number 7, seek mentorship from seasoned believers through intimacy with God. Utilize resources like the Morning Miracle Book, Awake 63, and ABC Overcomers Club during Wednesday night services. This is on top of your Sunday service. Do you really think that an hour and a half a week is really going to get you ready? I don't think so. You have an opportunity to do great things for the Lord. The opportunity when you see the Lord to say, this is what I've done, and hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Ask him what time to do, ask him what to do, and let him lead you and guide you. Now, Jesus has been mentoring myself and Pastor Karen for a long time. He's extending that mentorship to Awake 6:33 a.m. Prayer and prophetic intercession through the Triple Triumph of Prayer Method. And to repeat what it says there, we've experienced our 32nd visitation of Jesus. I encourage everybody to pray and see if you can rearrange your schedule to start coming. This is very important. Okay. Now on December 1st, Jesus gave me a prophetic word. I'll read it to you now. My good and faithful servants, this is your season. You have prepared yourself for such a time as this. You hear my voice now. Follow my instructions. Your victories are at hand. There is nothing too great for me, and you are with me. Therefore, there's nothing too great for you. So when you dust off your vision and look at what God's telling you to do, he's not asking you to do it alone. He's asking you to do it with him. There is nothing with him that you cannot do. And the bigger it is, the more exciting it's going to be and the better testimony it's going to be. I'm encouraging you. Spend some quality time with the Lord. Hear his voice. Let him lead you. Let him guide you in everything you need to do. He won't steer you wrong. But when you say having victory upon victory, and your life changes for the better, those people that have fallen away are going to start coming back of their own free will. God will never go against their free will. But when they see your life improving, they're going to want it. They're going to come to you. Okay. I'm going to pray for you now. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the turnarounds in everybody's lives. I praise you. I worship you. I glorify your holy name. I thank you for blessing every ABCer who has been a good and faithful servant. This is our season. We prepared ourselves for such a time as this. Help each of us to hear your voice now better than ever. We desire to follow your instructions, so our victories are now at hand. There is nothing too great for you, and we are with you. Therefore, there's nothing too great for each of us. In the name of Jesus, we receive your prophetic word. Everybody who agrees says, amen. So excited. Let me finish. Heavenly Father, names I praise and glorify. Send these angels out right now to help everybody to hear and discern your voice more. To hear you. To hear you. To hear you. And to get your instructions. And to start building upon building upon building their faith levels to grow and grow. And to follow you and discern between you and the counterfeit enemy. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. All right, praise God. Let's do communion now. Wow. I hope that message encouraged everybody. I don't encourage me. So you know, if you know of any sins, confess them now. If not, please repeat after me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm not aware of any sins. In the name of Jesus, thank you for cleansing me of all unrighteousness, according to 1 John 1:9. Okay, let's start communion now. 1 Corinthians 11:24 says that when Jesus had given thanks, he broke the bread and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, and do this in remembrance of me. So repeat with me, please. Heavenly Father, we thank Jesus from our hearts for doing the impossible, for coming to the earth as the Son of Man to go through an entire lifetime without sin. Jesus, you took all the punishment, whippings, pain, suffering, and challenges, and you forgave everybody and showed us a true love for all of us. You took all our sins upon you. You took all sickness and infirmity upon you. You took it all to the grave so you could position us to have eternal turnaround and escape from death, hell, and the grave. So we take your body now in remembrance of all that you've done for us and all you continue to do for us. So in remembrance of what you did on the cross, I eat your body now. Let's partake and eat the body of Jesus now. And let's take the blood. 1 Corinthians 11:25-26 says, in the same manner Jesus also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Now repeat with me. I thank you, Jesus, for your precious blood that paid the price for our new covenant. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your blood. Thank you that your blood is our protection. That it was our payment, prepaid for everything that we received in heaven. Thank you for your blood that is our eternal DNA as born again, spirit-filled believers on this earth so we can rule over all of the enemy on the earth. Under the earth and above the earth. We can now walk in our dominion and authority, and establish the kingdom of God wherever we go. We are a blood-bought church with the glad expectation that you are sending the right laborers to each and every one of our loved ones because of your blood. Your word is true. You said that me and my household shall be saved. We desire to follow your instructions, so our victories are now at hand. There is nothing too great for you, and we are with you. Therefore, there is nothing too great for each of us. In the name of Jesus, we receive your prophetic word, and now in remembrance of what you did for me on the cross, I drink your blood. Let's take together the Lord's cup in remembrance of Jesus. Let's do our 20 affirmations. We've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Everybody ready? We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. One more. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Praise the God.